Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you are here. And I'm glad Bill Duckerberg is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Duckerberg is our guest and a longtime friend of ours and longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the head, the chair, the king biscuit of the entire business school there at Temple, and our good friend Bill Duckerberg. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. I'm looking at your report here, Bill, and I see a lot of little negatives in front of a little dashes in front of numbers here.
Oh yeah.
I don't see. There's one that don't. There's two that don't have little negative signs in front of them. Everything else looks kind of down. Thank you for not putting them in red. That would have been too depressing.
And then there's that little chart that's in there for the.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That doesn't look so good.
So what are we going to do?
Well, you know, I don't think that it's quite as bad as it looks. But I mean, it is true that the index in January fell to the same level, you know, within a few tenths that we saw in January of '91. And we all remember. Well, some of us remember what was January of '91 was.
Yep.
Kind of a recession period. There are some important differences, though. The index, of course, is made up of 10 components. And just for comparison, back in 91, only a net 2% of the owners planned to create new jobs, and now we're four times that level inside the index. So this is more of a recession, if you will, in expectations than in the real spending side. The real spending side looks a little stronger. So it says this is going to be a weak economy. We use the January data to kind of look at the second quarter to see what's happening, and it says the second quarter is likely to be slower than the first quarter, which
really?
We forecast to be about 2% growth in the first quarter.
So you still think first quarter is going to come in at 2%?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Do you think that the fourth quarter of 07 is still going to hold up at 0.6?
No, I think it'll probably get some revisions, but even if we don't, you know, there are good pieces from the fourth quarter. If I can run over them quickly, we had tenths of 1% growth. That's really slow, but the decline in inventories took 1.3 points off of the growth. That is, people were spending money, but instead of ordering new goods, we were just using stuff off the shelf to satisfy the goods.
Right.
So it doesn't count as GDP because we didn't make it last year. We had already made it, and it was in inventories. That means inventories are very low,
which is not a bad thing going into a slowdown, is it?
Right, that's really good. So inventories are low, and the other thing that says is that spending is really 0.6 plus 1.3, or about 2% for spending growth. last time. So there's a better pace of spending than the 0.6 percent showed us for the fourth quarter. Then government came in at only
so you think the numbers will be revised upward?
Yeah, not just that. You know, that number may stay where it is, but even so, that's not going to happen again this time. That is,
right.
They aren't going to take a lot of inventory out in the first quarter. So if we have spending at the same rate, just no change in spending, no growth, you're going to gain a 1.3 percentage points in the growth in the first quarter because we won't be taking it out of inventory because we already did that.
I see.
So then government was only contributing 0.3%. Usually it's like 4%. So they told us that defense spending fell. Well, you know, that's just an accounting glitch. You know, I mean, everybody knows defense spending isn't falling. So let's assume that restores. That's 20% of GDP. So let's assume that restores itself from 0.3% right away you've got another point to add to the growth
mm-hmm.
rate. If consumers hold on to the 2% growth, which is what they were in the fourth quarter, you know, you've got yourself better than the 2%
right.
quarter, because net exports are still adding growth about 0.4 points in the fourth quarter. Let's say it does the same this time. So the growth really is better than that. Even if the 0.6 isn't revised, looking at the components there, it was a better number than it looked. So the you know, first quarter will be better than that. Now,
all
if
right.
the consumers stop spending, that's 70% of GDP, of course.
Yep.
Our fate is in their hands.
So, folks, what Bill did, I think, just now was to tell you what the real numbers are. We come back, we're going to talk about what the imagined conditions are. And I think that's where a lot of our problem is in this availability cascade that you've been hearing me talk about. What is real and what is perceived? And how much damage can the perceived do to us? 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back. A little bit of Van Halen for you there. That's Eddie on the guitar. I don't know who's playing the organ. It's pretty good, though, isn't it? 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for staying with us. We got Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. We're talking about the economy. And, Bill, I think I talked about this when you were here the last time, last month, about this concept of availability cascade. The availability cascade is where we hear something so much in the media that it becomes, after we hear it so much, it becomes real to us. And we start making plans. We start taking action or not. Taking action based on what we now believe is to be true. And what I think I heard you say a minute ago is the fundamentals on the ground, the real life fundamentals of our economy, are not that bad. It's just a little bit of it's off from where it's been for the last 4 or 5 years, or for at least 4 years. But the perception of the economy is what is where things are down. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. These events happen in every expansion. You have ups and downs. The expansion has been running for a lot of years now, and expansions get tired. And so you have quarters, or a couple of quarters where things get slow and then pick back up again. So that's not unusual. But what's happened here was that before the economy even started to slow, we had the Fed telling us in September, which was the last month of a 5% growth quarter, that a recession was coming. Well, people pay attention to the Fed, and the Fed, of course, immediately cut rates. And
mm-hmm.
and so I think it scared everybody. If you look at our data, our survey data by month, or even more granular than that, you'll find that optimism was rising up to September 18th and falling ever since. So, and every time the Fed makes an announcement, we lose a point or two on the index. It really drops it a lot. So we've had the September 19th cut, then we had the Halloween scare October 31st,
yep.
then we got another cut, then we got the January shocker. It just mm-hmm. keeps beating down the optimism.
Yeah, we got 1.25 points in January.
In 9 days.
Yeah, yeah. One was off meeting.
Yep, and that worries people. Then people think, mm-hmm. oh, my God, if they're doing, we had this, it starts off with a shocker in September.
Right.
And then and then we get some more of these, and people wonder why is it important to cut a week before a regular meeting? Something terrible must be happening.
Right.
So a rational business owner is going to be more careful, not buy too much inventory, not buy a truck that he was thinking about but now doesn't really need, especially if the number of customers is going to be slower coming
mm-hmm.
into a recession. So everybody cuts back. Well, if everybody cuts back a dollar, that's $300 million.
Right. And, folks, by the way, the report that we're working off of is Bill's NFIB Small Business Economic Trend Report, which he's been producing now for decades. He's been polling small business owners, hundreds, thousands of small business owners every month, on what they see out there, what are they experiencing with regard to sales increases, pricing power, employment plans, capital plans, credit situ their credit environment, their current inventory levels, all those sort of things, earnings trends. He's getting this kind of information from people just like you and me who are giving him this. They're telling him what they're experiencing, and then he compiles it into this report, this very excellent report that he gives us every month, which we post on our website, and you can find it at nfib.com, and also your own website, Bill, which is
smallbus.org.
All right, smallbus.org, and so folks, you can check that out if you want to see. And it's outstanding. It's in plain English, by the way. This is not Fed speak. It's plain English. In your report, Bill, are you seeing that small business owners are being prudent? Are they overreacting? And are they? Do you think that they're getting are still going to be in a position to take advantage of what could be very well a very positive second half of 08?
Well, I think that they're probably in pretty good position. We, of course, saw the inventory reduction numbers, you know, in our numbers. That is, the small business owners reported that they, you know, cleaned up their inventory and shaped things up. You know, there certainly has been no financial problem for them. That is, there is no credit crunch on Main Street still, in spite of all the noise that we hear about it. Everything
yep.
is moving along fine. So they're really, you know, in pretty good position. And they have been resisting, you know, the notion that the economy is weakening, because they don't see all that evidence in their own little five-mile circle around their business market. So that's why, you know, their expectations are down, because everybody keeps, the Fed and everybody else keeps saying, recession. So we have 22 percentage points more owners who think the economy will be worse in 6 months than think it'll be better, but we have 10% of them net are planning to increase jobs, increase employment. So,
well, the economic stimulus that that the government's working on right now, which I'm, by the way, I am four square against. I believe it's not needed. It's going to be more. It's going to create more harm long term than it's going to create benefit short term. Bill, I'll get your thoughts on that in a minute. But as you answer that question, as you tell us about how you think about it, tell us where you think the stimulus is going to be beneficial for small business.
Well, you know, it might be beneficial in that there, you know, a few more people are going to run out and spend some money. So we'll see it, you know, in the immediate short run, but I agree with you, in the long run, bad idea.
Yeah. Do you, I don't think the extra depreciation opportunities for small businesses is going to be that helpful to that many small business owners either.
Right. We don't buy trucks just because they're a little bit cheaper. We only
right.
buy them if we need them.
And most of us don't write off $250,000 a year in capital outlays. Stand by, quick break, 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. First one is where you can find the show and all the other things we do here, including the ability to subscribe to our free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. The archives are there of past shows we've done, including the replay of the ones we do today. And, of course, our askjim.biz is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. And you can also, on our homepage, you can find the NFIB Small Business Economic Trends Report, which Bill Dunkelberg and I are talking about right now. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest and the author of this outstanding report. Well, actually, small business owners, you're the author of the report. Bill, you're the compiler and the producer of the report. But they're the authors, aren't they? Yeah, they're the authors, and I want to make sure we give small business owners proper attribution, don't we?
Exactly.
Okay, so where are we? We were just talking about the stimulus. You and I basically agree that the stimulus package is going to wind up being a bust. They've never worked, Bill, in history. All the times that have been tried before in history, they've never worked. Let me ask you.
We've given it up, but apparently, yeah. This is an election year, so a lot of stupid things will happen.
But I'm disappointed in President Bush. I thought he would. would resist this. But he's apparently found love over in Congress, and he's been singing Kumbaya with the folks who don't understand the economy over there. And I don't know what we're going to do about that. Bill, another thing, in after Vietnam, the 69 recession was caused, but to a large degree, by the government cutting back on military spending, defense spending, because of the slowdown in Vietnam, and the economy having to redirect its activities. Is there anything like that coming at us down the road? Do you think where if we start cutting back on our defense spending, cutting back on Iraq? As things start, if they continue to improve over there, could that be a potential problem for the economy?
I would say probably not. First of all, just in the total picture, this is a very small and not very expensive war compared mm-hmm. to wars that we fight. So if we were to stop fighting it, the expenditures wouldn't change by that much. I mean, it sounds like a lot to us, $100 billion, $200 billion. Sounds like a lot of money, but remember that's like rounding error in the $3 trillion budget
right.
that the president has now put forward. So that would be really easily redirected. I mean, hopefully we could just cut our borrowing and the deficit by $100 billion or $200 billion when that happens. But most of the people who are fighting in Iraq and so on and so forth, we're already on the payroll, so they're not really extra costs. They're just redeployed. And they'll stay on the payroll if we stop fighting there tomorrow, those people will still be in the military and be on our payroll.
Mm-hmm. What do you think as you look in your Dunkelberg crystal ball, Bill? What do you think we're looking at for the second half of 2008?
Well, unless we have a serious difficulty, I think, with consumers and the debt that they have. Which is a possibility.
Yep.
Excuse me, my voice is tough this morning. Consumers make up 70% of GDP, so consumer spending. If consumers stop spending or go negative, obviously that will drag the economy down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you,
and
one
I don't
of
think
the...
that'll happen, but it could happen.
One of the concerns that could cause that to happen is if the credit card companies start cutting back on credit.
Yeah, although I think people use that stuff for transactions rather than for actual borrowing. But it is true that we doubled the amount of consumer debt in about 6 years, the last 6 years, and prior to that we doubled it over 10 years. So we've grown it a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
but again, a lot of the figures are a little misleading. I'll give you an example: the people who spend the most on credit cards are you and me. Mm-hmm. And we count that as credit, but I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. I pay off every month because
right.
Money, travel money,
right.
So I get $10,000 bills that aren't. It's not really my spending.
It's transactional, right? I agree
right.
with you.
But
yeah.
It gets counted as debt because at mm-hmm. any point in time, it's outstanding. With 60% of the balances on credit cards get paid back every month
yep.
without a finance charge, so they.
Yep.
There are a different set of people who actually that's the cheapest source of credit
mm-hmm.
they have, and
yep.
they use it for debt. But most
right.
of it's not debt, so the credit yep. card debt growth really overstates the growth in debt.
Right. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We're looking forward to next month already.
All right. That went fast.
Hey, Bill, would you please get us some good news next month?
I'm going to work on it.
Work on that,
if
please.
I get some help from my partners out there in small business.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.